What's up, everyone? Welcome to another episode of Coming Unstuck, a Step Up to Greatness podcast. I'm your host and greatness facilitator, Dustin Gruss. As you know, our goal here is to help you overcome that feeling of being stuck and to reboot your mindset, your health, and even your career. Sometimes when we feel stuck, we don't know what to do, so we do nothing. My guest today is here to help with that as she tells us you aren't procrastinating, you're just lost. Samantha Hodder is a producer, writer, podcast host, and self-proclaimed story geek. And her course, Escape Your Story, helps writers, podcasters, filmmakers, and more get unstuck and create something unforgettable. Samantha, thank you so much for coming on today.
My pleasure to be here.
All right. First off, I saw that you started podcasting back in 2012 with the Egg Carton Podcast. It both seems not that long ago, but when you think about how much podcasting has boomed since then, what made you get into podcasting back then and way back, you know, in its early stages, and how has your style changed, if at all, with everything else changing?
Wow. Yeah. I mean, 2012 feels like the ancient days of podcasting. So I come into podcasting with, you know, about 20 years of media experience. I started as a freelance writer. I moved into radio. Then I made documentaries. I then dove into interactive film work. And then I took a long pause as I started my family. And I sort of came around one day, and actually it was when I was recovering from these pregnancies and I was doing a lot of jogging and I was listening to podcasts all the time. And I fell in love with this genre, just like, this is my home for stories. This sort of brings a whole bunch of my love of media and storytelling together. And then I stopped one day and thought, oh, wait a second, I can do this. I know how to do this. I just have to tweak my stories, remind myself how to do audio editing, and dive into it. So in the beginning days, it was the very first podcast, which was kind of an open book of teaching myself how to do it. And I say I started in 2012. It took until the very beginning of 2015 to launch it, but it was really finished in January. It took about 2 years to sort of get my experience underway and figure out how to do all these tests, how to do all these tasks. And in the beginning, it was very much a Radiolab story. So the idea was to look at innovation and crack it open and see all the gooey, interesting stories inside and piece it together in a three-act formula, which was borrowed from This Is Our This American Life, and kind of mix this producing format of interview tape with personal reflection, with narration, with action tape. And, you know, it was a fun experiment. It was great. But I realized that each one of those episodes took me months and months to produce. And I thought, well, isn't there something wrong with me? I mean, they do it all. They seem to have one a week at Radiolab. Why is this taking so long? You know, it took me a while to realize that they have a whole team of people and it was just me and maybe one other person working with me at the time. So I sort of took a step back from it and thought, okay, I love doing this, but what is it that I want to take forward with me? And I decided that I wanted to do this style of podcasting, but I wanted to take a deep dive into a story. And that was at the time that Serial started and this kind of murder genre, the whodunit mystery podcast theme arose, and the true crime genre was really getting hold. And I love true crime. It's interesting, but it's not my genre. It's not my thing. So I started to think, well, what could be my thing? I like that format where you dive in and you're really personal and you really get into the middle of a story and it's like a mystery novel in a way where you kind of unfurl it. But I didn't want to do it about a murder. So I started searching around for an interesting story to follow. And that was in 2016. And by then I found a story that really piqued my interest, which was about a group of women scientists going to Antarctica for the first ever largest expedition to Antarctica with just female scientists. And I thought, those might be my people. And was the start of a much longer process.
Yeah. I mean, you're doing awesome. You're leading me into my next questions and everything. And one of the things I was going to mention is your style, your podcast, because I was listening to your podcast, This Is Our Time. And, you know, you took these interviews that you did with these people, much like you and I are doing interview now, but then you've edited them and produced them to be more of like a documentary style. So it sounds like you borrow that style from different genres. And it sounds like it was taking you months to produce like each episode. Is that accurate? How much time you're spending to produce each one?
Yes, I guess when I add it up, I mean, when I dove into This Is Our Time, I was really looking at it. Well, truthfully, I started it as a 20-minute story, and then all of a sudden it grew and it grew before me. And eventually it was a 3-hour multi-episode thing. But honestly, the intent was a 20-minute version of it, which is what happens when you dive into a good story and you just kind of get lost. But yeah, I would say, you know, on average, each 25 to 35 minute episode is 3 months. Maybe that's at that time, that was about accurate.
And you just said you were kind of harder on yourself and kind of questioning, okay, why is it taking so long for me to do this? And you mentioned the fact that these other people, of course, they had other people on their team. But the question I have for you is, how important was it for you to get each episode to the final product that you have it at now? Because, you know, there's the saying like, you should, you know, don't create something for the sake of other people's interest or the sake of trying to get other people interested. You should create for you and how much you love it. But did that kind of put you at a discomfort level because it was taking you so long, but you knew you wanted it to sound a certain way and have a finished product a certain way? Or did you find yourself rushing to get some of them out just to, you know, have them out?
I think it put me at a disadvantage because I just wasn't constitutionally capable of rushing to put it out. I set really high standards for my own self and my own production. And, you know, I wanted to make an independent podcast series sound as good as anything you hear in NPR, but I was doing it with basically no money and basically no team. So when I did This Is Our Time, I actually near the end, I ran a Kickstarter to raise some money to get a proper mix and do all the things that you need to do to get something launched properly. Mm-hmm. I mean, even just a piece of software costs money every month. And so that was successful and it was helpful in terms of getting the information out. But truthfully, in the end, I spent more time administering the Kickstarter project than I did, you know, now it was very, very helpful in a lot of ways, but I would say the sort of money in was almost a wash with the effort out. But in so doing, that's part of what you do to build up an audience and get some credibility and attention on a story. And that part worked, but wow, Kickstarters are a lot of time and money, and I'm not doing one in the second time around, that's for sure. So I have a very high standard of what I want it to be. And I come at it with this notion that I'm helping to build a genre of documentaries, documentary podcasts, kind of in the long form genre. And I just have to be patient with it. So in the meantime, I do part-time work that helps support me and brings money in. And this is what I do in every minute that I can.
That part-time work, is it related to similar genre, like the creative side, or is it more?
Not at all. Not at all. It's got nothing to do with podcasting. It's, you know, managing small businesses and being a landlord.
Now, do you look for stories in those moments too, in that side job, or is it more just focused on your experience you had on the ship in Antarctica?
Well, I think with the podcast, it's really kind of, it's a really narrow focus. It's about that time in that place. But I also write. I'm a writer on Medium. So yeah, you know, what's the old saying that no story is ever safe around a writer? When you write for the public, I love writing. I have to write. So Medium is the way that I connect with my writing audience. And yeah, everything around me goes in there eventually, but and my kids and my family and the experiences I've had in COVID, I bleed them out there to have an outlet for it. But I think with the podcast, it's really quite narrowly focused on this story and this time and place. And maybe in the future, it'll be something else. But for now, that's what I keep it focused on.
Awesome. Well, your podcast, This Is Our Time, and your upcoming podcast, The Ship, tells a really interesting story and concept, which you kind of mentioned, kind of tiptoed around, of all these women on a ship to Antarctica. Can you give us a brief overview of what that expedition was about and why it was so important, not only to the women on board, but to society as a whole?
Sure. This Is Our Time is the podcast that I launched when I encountered this story, which was a group. At the time, it was the largest ever all-female, all-scientist expedition to go to Antarctica. And it was organized through an organization out of Australia called Homeward Bound. And the focus of it is that it's a leadership development initiative to take these women who work as scientists or work in STEM and bring them to the edge of the world to not only see their own self in a new way in an isolated chamber, but also to recognize the importance of our planet and the climate and the crisis that we're living in, and bring together these pillars in a sort of mastermind that takes place over 3 weeks on a ship in Antarctica. And so when I discovered the story in 2016, I knew someone who was going on the inaugural voyage, which left in November of 2017. And as I said, I started to make a 20-minute story about it, which grew and grew and grew and grew. And at the time, it was me imagining this story. And it was, if we put ourselves back in that moment of 2016, it was just on the heels of Hillary losing that election and this kind of dashed hope that so many women had, that women in leadership was having its moment and Hillary was going to be the president and the world was really going to change and open up for women in a way that it hadn't before. And so this expedition was really just such a perfect mirror of what the whole world was talking about. And it was a very passionate moment for me. But it was an imagined moment. So I followed the story from afar. I interviewed a number of participants before they went on the expedition. And then while they were on the expedition, they made audio diaries, which they they recorded on their devices and gave to me. And I knew a woman who was on the expedition, and she took a mobile recording, a very small, an H1 recorder with her, and did some field sound. And then when everyone got back, I did exit interviews. And so the story sort of pieced together a before, during, and after moment examining this idea of women in leadership. And for me, it was really, it was an imaginary space. Towards the end of finishing that 8-part story, which, as I said, grew way beyond my original plan, I had a phone call which changed my life. And that was that the leader of the expedition, one of the co-founders, her name is Fabian Dattner, she phoned me and she said, "I would like to bring you on this expedition with us next time. We want to start podcasting. We don't have any idea what that means. We want to get it going. You've already done it. How would you say? What do you think? Can you pack your bags and meet us and go to our, meet us in Argentina to go to Antarctica in about 6 months?" And I was shocked. I actually had no idea that was coming. And it's funny because I kind of dreamed about going on the first one, but by the time the second one came around, I wasn't dreaming about that. And I was really just dreaming about finishing this giant story and getting it out into the internet and moving on to a different project. But this was too good of an offer to pass up. And it was a hard decision to make because it was a big commitment. It was to be gone for a month. I have 3 young kids. Well, they're not so young anymore, but at the time they were 7 and 9 and 13. So the idea of leaving for a month was a challenge. But I, and I tried to quit. I know initially I said, sure, I'll go. And then I tried to back out of it at one point because of various reasons and seemed impossible. But I figured out how to get there, and I made my way down to Argentina. In the meantime, of course, I had to finish that first story and launch it, which is its own very difficult story. I actually wrote a big, long piece about this on Medium, if people find me at my name, Samantha Hodder, Hodder on Medium, which tells the sort of pre-story of how it was that I came to go to Antarctica in the first place and why it was a really hard decision. And so I find myself in Argentina, February of 2018, and we get on a ship and we go to Antarctica. I go with such good intentions. I'm like, I know what I'm doing now. I've already done one story. I'm going to come back. I'm going to get this thing done and dusted, and it'll be should be up by the summer. I didn't make that promise to anyone, but I, in my mind, that's what happened.
Right.
But that's not at all the way it went. I came back from Antarctica, and when the initial shock of actually being back home wore off, I found that I was just frozen. I was so confused about this story. I had no idea what had just happened to me. It felt like I'd been hit by a bus, and this giant experience had just, you know, happened. And I left my world that I'd been living in. I hadn't been away from my kids for any more than a few days at any time, and now I was off living this life like I did in my 20s before I had kids. And it was so hard to reconcile these two parts of life. And And then the other thing I realized is that it's a very different thing to be inside of a story. And this is sort of a documentarian's plight, but and when you are basically a character in your own story, you're so deep in there, you can't see out. You can't even see. You can't see the door in the room. So I got back and I spent a long time trying to figure any of this out. And I finally came to the realization that I was just lost inside of it. And I didn't know if any of it was interesting. I didn't know what structure to put on it. I didn't know how to talk about it at all. So I decided to completely remove myself from the story. And I came across a system of screenwriting called Story Beats. And there's a few people who have covered this off. I first discovered it from a book, a series. I used it as an audiobook, of course, because I'm an audio person, but it's called Save the Cat. And it was developed by this guy named Blake Snyder, who developed it on the back of the seminal work of Robert McKee in 1997 from another book. But this audiobook series really put together in a screenwriting format what the essential story structure is for basically any movie you've ever seen in your whole life. And they follow different genres and they go in different directions and they break all kinds of rules. But underneath all of that, there are 15 essential story beats that every single story in the whole world is built on.
Wow. That's crazy. And that again leads me into the next part. You're doing wonderfully just weaving through this and leading me to the next question I have for you. So as I mentioned at the start, you have a unique course that helps creatives get over their blocks and unlock their story. How did you come up with this course, or it sounds like you adapted it, as it seemed by your own admission you were once stuck too?
Yes. Well, I mean, as I mentioned, this Save the Cat series is really geared towards people who are screenwriters. There's also another version that's specifically for novelists, and they're great. But if you're writing a screenplay, you can wait for the big action to happen until, you know, 60 minutes into the story. In a podcast, you can't wait 60 minutes for something big to happen. Mm-hmm. So I realized that I had to sort of take that format and jig it a little bit to for it to make sense and for it to work in a podcast audience, which you know, radio goes slowly because it's radio, but it's got to happen fast and it's got to happen quickly. So the 15 B story sheet workshop that I that were the Escape Your Story, which I have a freebie that I want to make sure I tell your listeners about, which is I've called the 15 B worksheet, really just helps people understand what those 15 beats are. And my next piece of work, which I haven't been able to get to yet, which is to really explain to podcasters and people who make podcasts how you adapt that system to work for a podcast. But for now, I'm just sharing this kind of baseline information that's so important to anyone who's a creative out there. And there's 1,000 ways to adapt it. So the Escape Your Story is my adaptation of what those 15 beats are. And yes, I've taken the work from Robert McGee, Blake Snyder, and many, many other people. And I'm putting it together in a 10-day email workshop where, and I've structured it in a way that sort of brings together a couple things that I learned. I mentioned before that this idea of getting to know your own story was important, or trying to getting out of your story, which is why I called it escape your story. It's either you're escaping from it or you're escaping to it. But I had to get out of my own story in order to understand what my story was. I had to, even though I was the character, the person inside the story, the person who recorded everything, who was inside of every little bit of it, which is the same as a writer is, even if they're not one of the characters, they're just deeply inside of whatever it is they're creating. You have to go through this process to remove yourself from that. Otherwise, you can't see it objectively. You can't really see it creatively, and it's hard to imagine how other people see it. It's this sort of interesting Jungian thing where you remove yourself from, it's like the splitting of the psyche so that you can see it objectively, and then you can also view it in a way that's bigger than yourself and bigger than the story and bigger than the event. And that's where I came to this, develop this course, Escape Your Story. So I've brought these two elements in. So it's learning what those beats are, but then I take the students through series of exercises where they almost discredit what they, like one of them is, write down five things that you think it could be, and then scratch out three of them and leave yourself with two. Choose one of them and go from there. There's another exercise where I get people to write an email to their boss explaining why this bad thing happened that they wish they didn't, which is really the bad thing in the story. But it's sort of these little tricks and exercises to get people to be objective to their story and to look at it as a story that's disconnected from the author or from the creator.
Well, I know I have experience telling my boss's stories over time, so maybe that's something I'd be pretty good at pretty quickly. So we're nearing the 1 year mark of the COVID-19 pandemic, and many people's lives and careers have been turned upside down. And some people are looking to tap into their creative side, and some are probably just looking for a release. Who would you say this course is for?
Yeah, that's great. I love seeing it like that, because personally, I've really tried to take this time in the pandemic as a reset and a reboot. And when it first happened in March, it was such a shock to the system, and it was really, and I actually got really sick, which may or may not have been COVID. And I think I had a little bit of a life and death moment where I was lying there sick as could be, and I thought, okay, if I am going to die, what am I missing? What did I not do? This is a bit of a reality check. And I said to myself, there's a lot of things I need to get up and get done. And one of them is that I need to do more writing, because I've always written, but I haven't done a lot of sharing of that, or it's been a part of some other project. It hasn't been sort of intentional writing that I seek to publish, at least not for about 20 years. It's actually where I started my career, and then I just left it for a lot of reasons. And I know that I'm not alone, because I think a lot of people out there have more time on their hands because they're not socializing, they're not driving their kids to hockey tournaments four times a week. They're maybe unfortunately they've been laid off and they're trying to restart and reboot. There's a whole lot of different reasons. And I also think that this time of turbulence and change can really bring out a lot of powerful creative work in people. And that was one of the reasons I wanted to get it out there now, is that there's a lot of people who are sitting around with their stories and trying to think, how can I do this? How can I reboot? How can I pivot? How can I finally get this thing done that I've been waiting to get done? Because this is such a phenomenal time we're living through that I think it's causing people to really examine their life in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Okay, hold up. I want to talk about something real quick. Have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. Like, how do I record an episode? How do I get my show into all the apps that people like to listen to podcasts on? How do I make money from my podcast? The answer to every one of these questions is really simple. Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. Best of all, it's 100% free and ridiculously easy to use. And now Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise on your podcast. That means you can get paid to podcast right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading this ad. As I mentioned, Anchor distributes your podcast to all the different platforms, such as Google, Apple, Spotify, and it has some great background music you can add to your podcast to give it a little extra flair. So if you've always wanted to start a podcast and make money doing it, go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of podcasters already using Anchor. That's anchor.fm/start. I can't wait to hear your podcast. So would you say, well, sounds like you've been doing a lot of kind of having to do a lot of out of body experience, like introspection, like you're stepping outside yourself to look in, whether it be for your story aboard Homeward Bound or, you know, your out of body experience when your body was sick as a dog with may or may not have been COVID. But you're taking a closer look at what you've done, what you've accomplished, and what you want to accomplish still. So I know for me and my coaching, one of the things I try to stress to people first and foremost is that you have a choice. That's the first step. And anything that you're going to do or want to do is whether you feel stuck or not, you have a choice to take action and do something. And that's why I love your, on your page, your mention of you're not procrastinating, you just might be lost. And so if you could break down, what is the first step in this process that you've created? Because often it's that first step is usually the hardest, but it really just takes that realization that, okay, it's hard, but I have a choice to still make that step. So what is the first step in your process?
Wow, that's wild to actually think about it. I think I actually included this in the first day of Escape Your Story, where, again, I sat down and thought, okay, I'm imagining I'm back at the beginning. What is it I need to get ready to do with this to actually get done? Like, so if I'm committed to doing a 10-day course, I sit down on day one, what do I need to have in place to get ready to actually maximize it and get something finished by the end of 10 days? And I think the first thing I came to is you have to commit to yourself that you're doing it, which means you've got to have the time. You've got to give yourself, I say, a minimum 30 minutes, and 1 hour is a better amount. And then anything above that is amazing. But you've got to say, I'm going to get up every day at 6 a.m. and spend an hour doing this. Or I'm going to take my lunch break, whenever that happens, and don't have to do something for some other job. For 1 hour, I'm going to sit down and do this. So you open the space in your life and you give yourself a commitment. And, I am a big fan of post-it notes. If I have something that I'm really needing to do or I have a big intention of, I write it on a post-it note and I put it somewhere really visible in front of me so that I keep having to see it and remind myself, right, okay, Escape Your Story, 12 to 1 every day. And you can't back out of it. And the second thing I do, and this is a change I've made in my own process, I would say in the last few months, is that I meditate. Every morning I wake up early, and before I sit down to write, I actually do a 10-15 minute meditation to focus my mind. And originally I did this because my anxiety was just through the roof with all the crazy world of the pandemic and, mm-hmm. My parents, is my mom going to die? Am I going to get sick? What does it mean? My kids aren't at school. They're not getting educated. How am I going to do anything with everyone kicking around all day? They're not learning anything. They're really upset and really, you know, all of the challenges that everyone's felt, but in particular the youth around COVID. So meditation has been a big part of it, and creating this sort of ritual. Writing for me has really improved now that I have a ritual that's connected to it, because I'm committed to it. And it's not just I sit down and write. It's intentionally doing it at a time and in a certain way. And then I think the third thing that I've done personally, and I'm trying to bring it into the course, is to allow yourself free writing time, but then to stop and look at it differently. It's almost, you know, you have a hexagon, you take it, you look at it on one side, and then you shift it to another face, and you look at it and you shift it to another face. So to constantly use the same story, but keep looking at it from different angles and test yourself of how you can see it differently, which is a little bit trying to imagine how different people interpret things differently. But it's also just, it's like getting to know all the different sides of the story and all the complexities of the characters. And so it's something I've really tried to push myself to, that, you know, you as the author, you write and you get that out, but then you stop and you examine it. And then you sometimes mix it up and redo it, or you leave it, or you mix it up and do it and set it aside and never look at it again. But just doing that, having done that, is a really important aspect to the story.
I love that hexagon analogy. That's so creative. And I mean, you know, usually when you're in an argument or a dispute with someone, like, it's one of the best ways to kind of overcome that is to look at it from their point of view. At least that's what I try to tell people. It's okay. You know, there's always the saying that there's three sides to the story, your side, their side, and the truth. But, you know, taking other people's perspectives and shifting it like the hexagon and knowing that the truth is somewhere in the middle, but we're all going to see it from a different side. I love that analogy. That's awesome.
That's great.
So you mentioned that you have something that you want to provide to my listeners and stuff. Could you tell us a little bit about that and where would we find that and more information about you?
All right. Well, everything is conveniently located at my website, which is really just sort of a primer backgrounder on the work that I've put out into the world. And that's at my own website, which is samanthahodder.ca, SamanthaHodder.ca. And in there, there's a link to it, but I can just give a really quick link. I love bit.ly links because they're nice and short. So the bit.ly link, before the Escape Your Story, before any listeners want to commit to that, they might want to just get a worksheet done on, hey, what are my 15 story beats? Because starting a course with that homework done is so much better, because actually you'll probably end up changing a whole bunch of them, but working on them before is a great idea. So I've made something called a 15B worksheet, and you can find that link at bit.ly/15B worksheet. And what that is a free, it's about 5 pages long, and it explains what each of the story beats are and in a theory. And then there's a space for everyone to write down what their own story beats are, and kind of then allows you to see your story, not as the however many page, 100 pages long that it is, 10 pages, 20 pages, but as just almost like bullet points. And for those listeners who really want to dig in deeper than that, I've created this 10-day email course called Escape Your Story. And again, you can find that at bit.ly/escapeyourstory. And that is right now being offered at the introductory price of just $10. So that's $1 a day to commit to your own story for your own self. And it's a worksheet, it's a workbook process that asks you for 30 to 60 minutes a day to really dive into your story. And at the end, I promise you, it will be not the same story, but a much better story. And you personally, as a creator, are going to feel so much better about what it is you're doing.
That's awesome. I, for one, am definitely interested in doing this. I'm going to sign up soon as we are off with this podcast.
That's great. Can't wait to see you there.
Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Thank you so much for your time. Again, her different podcast is This Is Our Time. You can, again, find that on her webpage, www.samanthahotter.ca. Definitely check that out. You're going to love the production of it. Again, it's such an awesome blend of interviews and storytelling, narration. It really had me captivated when I was listening to it. So definitely check it out. Check out Samantha on Medium as well. And honestly, looking around at her page, there's all kinds of information to look at and watch and just really get yourself involved in. But the most important thing is definitely to get to the root of your story, get your story out and expressed, and she can definitely help you with that. And so dive in, definitely sign up for or get the worksheet, as well as sign up for the Escape Your Story. And once you get started, remember, keep moving forward and step up to greatness.